Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from River City Roll here in Scott's Addition. Don't call River City Roll, just a bowling alley, live music and entertainment. The wings are good, the pizza's banging, great beer selection as well. You can catch me here Fridays and Saturday nights checking out the live music on the stage. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline to talk a little Commanders, here with us right now, it's our buddy David Harrison. What's going on, David?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So why do you think the NFL decided to award Washington the 2027 NFL draft when there's not going to be a stadium built? They chose the National Mall.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, most of the drafts, I can't say for all of them, but I know, like, for example, Lambeau, you know, it wasn't actually in Lambeau. I know that Lambeau was obviously the backdrop, but, you know, I think the city of D.C., you know, as you well know, you obviously have a lot of things that can become your backdrop. So even if it's not a new stadium, it can be, you know, the National Mall or what have you. And who knows, potentially, I mean, it's 2027 by the time the stadium is built and everything, maybe the 2035 NFL draft, you know, comes back, and that's when the stadium is in the backdrop or what have you. But I think, you know, at least part of it is, you know, kind of a reward to kind of show, you know, NFL franchise, look, when you do the right thing, even if you hit some bumpy roads, you know, you turn the corner, make things better, the league will reward you.
Yeah, as much as I want to make this about Josh Harris as a great owner, I do think it's more about how bad Dan Snyder was and how many people did not want to work with him, be affiliated with him, be in the same room with him, or have a conversation with him.
I mean, that's fair, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of one of those things. I remember talking, you know, to people when the sale was happening and the transition was happening, and it's like, you know, can Josh Harris really be a better owner? And it's like, well, it's kind of a low bar to cross, right? Like, it's not really or to clear. It's not that big of a challenge to be a better owner. But I think that where Josh and the ownership group right now deserves credit is not only have they been better, which is an easy, you know, standard to hit, but they've been good. They've been good on their own, and certainly I think done things that even exceeded some of the expectations of when they came in.
David Harrison with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Yesterday's question of the day on the Richmond Commander, I'll give you our answer in a second, David, was which draft pick here in 2025 will be under the most pressure in training camp?
Which one will be under the most pressure? I think you could possibly go either way with either Trey Amos or Josh Connerly Jr. because both of them obviously play very important positions. Potentially Josh Connerly because he's the first rounder, right? Like if the first rounder doesn't start for some reason, or even if he gets shifted inside to guard, which I know some people are kind of talking about matter-of-factly, like, hey, you know, he could potentially move inside. I think, you know, a lot of people, there's already some people who kind of don't like the selection, not necessarily don't like the kid or whatever. They just feel like they're, you know, obviously Edge was a bigger need on most people's minds. But if he moves inside, you know, and then, you know, you spend a first-round draft pick on a guard, is that really, you know, getting the best value? And if he doesn't start at all, then I think that's where you'll get kind of more of the buzz. Whereas a cornerback, like, you know, Trey Amos, you know, being the second-round pick, even though the value is there and a lot of people thought he could be a first-round guy, if there's some early, you know, learning curve that he needs to kind of adjust to, I think that'll go over a little bit. I mean, either one of them I don't think is going to get, you know, go over very well. But I think that, yeah, the Connerly pick would probably get taken a little bit more partially. So for that reason, I guess, you know, I would say there's more pressure on him. Plus, he's protecting Jaden Daniels, right? So when you're protecting the most important player on the field, there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there. And anytime you're a first-round pick, you're most likely going to have the most pressure on you to perform in your first training camp. Because of the failure of Emmanuel Forbes at a first-round pick, I think the answer is Trey Amos. Because of the issues we saw with Marshon Lattimore at the end of the season and the success that Mikey Sainer still had, who was a later pick, I do think there's going to be a lot of eyes on Trey Amos, and he's going to have pressure to be a true outside press corner in training camp. There's going to be a learning curve. It's going to be difficult for him. That's why I'd argue he's under the most pressure, because of the failure of Emmanuel Forbes. It feels like, and maybe the pressure is because of the fan base. I mean, everyone's going to be looking at Trey Amos, and they're going to compare him to Forbes and Sainer still.
Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of the pressure that these players face, you know, from the outside isn't always fair, right? Like, it's not, you know, it wouldn't be Josh Connerly's fault that the Commanders took him in the first round over an edge. It wouldn't be Trey Amos's fault that Emmanuel Forbes didn't pan out. But you're right. Like, that's part of the perception that people, you know, go through. And I remember, you know, there was a conversation that I had with a fan recently talking about, like, the history of draft picks, you know, on the front line and how they haven't panned out and all these other things outside of Cosme. And, you know, again, like, that history doesn't really apply to Josh Connerly, but that's the way it works, right? People keep score, and things mount up, and baggage gets carried forward. So, yeah, I think it's – when you talk about the court of public opinion, I think all those things are absolutely valid, and what will happen if that discussion comes up. Hopefully they just don't come up.
David Harrison with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, covers the Commanders for Sports Illustrated. You know, have you done any digging? Do you feel like this team – is there any conversations about them – going out and still getting a free agent edge rusher? Or is it, you know, Adam Peters seems to keep saying, like, I trust the guys that we brought in here, but I would love, and I know the fans would love, like a Von Miller or a Zadarian Smith, like a Noah Brown type signing, maybe right around training camp.
Yeah, and it could be, you know, it could come right around training camp, right? Once they get the guys into OTAs and do those things and start to see them a little bit and see how they mesh and click and all those things, that might be where they say, like, okay, maybe we do need to bring in of that, you know what I mean? A guy like Jacob Martin, I think, is going to get some opportunities, but, you know, if he comes in early on and, you know, for one reason or another just isn't giving them, you know, the burst of confidence that they would love to have out of that position, then maybe you see them bring in a guy like Zadarius Smith, like you just mentioned. But, you know, as far as, like, any, like, smoke of, you know, like, tomorrow the move might be coming down, like, no, there's this staff has been incredibly good at keeping all that kind of stuff under wraps. I think as quickly as they fell in love with Jaden Daniels and how, you know, few of us, a lot of us latched onto him as well, but it was based on our own, you know, opinions and everything else. We just happened to be right. So I think that's a great part of this organization. But the conversation is going to still happen. I've had it on my show. You know, we're having it today. It's going to come, you know, next weekend and so on and so forth. But I think they're probably most likely, like, my prediction would be that they're going to see what they have first, because they do have some confidence in what they've built. And then if they see a need, they'll go for it. But AP has always said, you know, there's not a day that goes by where there's an opportunity to make this team better, he's not going to at least be interested in it. So, you know, anything can come at any moment.
Offensive line certainly going to look a lot different than it did week one of the 2024 season, before Brandon Coleman was actually your starting left tackle. Now it'll be Tunsil. Can you kind of give me your opinion on where things will be shifted with the offensive line and how you expect it to look, you know, week one through four, I guess? And because, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think Cosme will be ready by the time the regular season gets here.
Yeah, no, if Sam Cosme were ready for the regular season, I would be incredibly surprised, not, you know, from a lack of work on his part, but just because of the nature of the injury. That's a 10 to 12 month injury, you know, typically. And then you're talking about a big man who's got to, you know, flex a lot. He's got to put a lot of weight on there. He's got to anchor down on that, have guys pushing against him and everything else. So I think you're probably looking at closer to that 11, 12 month mark than you are that 9 or 10th month mark. But that being said, man, you're right. Like, Laremy Tunsil, like, you know, I think AP or Lance Newmark said a draft weekend. That's the only spot that's locked in. You know, LT is your LT, is the way they put it. Outside of that, everything's up for grabs. And I think Tyler Biadasz, you know, I think, you know, even if he's not coming into it, you know, locked in as the starting center, I think he ends up being your starting center. Outside of that, I think it's kind of up for grabs, right? Like, Nick Allegretti, the incumbent left guard, he's out. A lot of that athleticism they want, intensity that they like to see out of him. So definitely, you know, don't come into it thinking that he's just, you know, a guy waiting for his job to get taken, because I think there's a lot of quality play there. But you look at everybody. Brandon Coleman's got the inside-outside versatility. Again, people have talked about Connerly potentially having the ability to move inside. Wiley's got guard tackle ability. Trent Scott, same thing. And then you've got new guys like Herbig, you know what I mean? There's just a lot of, I think, solid dudes on this offensive line. I think Bobby Johnson, you know, one part is going to have a lot of fun figuring out the best combination, but at the same time, he's going to have some long nights having to really evaluate what the best five is going to be for this team. Fortunately for them, they have all the way until into September to really make that decision if they need to take all that time. And I think they will take as much time as they need to, but I couldn't really predict a line for you, man. Like, I think Connerly is going to get an obvious opportunity to start. I think that's probably where my biggest, if you want to call it, conviction sits. I think we're probably looking at a right tackle situation similar to what they did with Brandon last year, where, you know, Connerly and probably Andrew Wiley, like, kind of swap, you know, sets here and there, and maybe even start the year where, you know, Wiley's out there first and Connerly comes in, so on and so forth, until eventually Connerly is ready to go. And then, you know, if that's the case there, then I'd probably give Trent Scott the leg up to be the right guard. And I think you're probably looking at Brandon Coleman and Nick Allegretti battling out for left guard.
David, before we let you go here, you might have to speculate on this, but you've had conversations with, I'm sure, Luke McCaffrey and with the coaching staff. What do you think he was told he needed to improve on this offseason to see the field more this upcoming year? Because my take on this year's draft class has been, hey, you got to include Coleman, Sennett, and McCaffrey development as part of this draft class as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's a valid point. Really, with Luke, it's just about continuing to get better and just the wide receiver nuance, right? Like, at the end of the day, he's coming into his fourth season as a receiver. Like, that's not a lot of, like, there's guys that just came out of college who have more experience than he does playing that position, right? And he's had to do the 1 year in the National Football League. And I think part of that is where you see them go and get Deebo Samuel, bring back Noah Brown, draft a guy like Jalen Lane, is to make it so that they don't need to necessarily put a lot on Luke McCaffrey. I had a conversation with a member of the coaching staff during the season last year, and that, you know, it's across the board. It's not just Luke, but they're going to use a guy the best way that they can. You know, some of that conversation I've got to keep between me and them. But, you know, shortly after there, you kind of see Luke relegated to more of a special teams role. I actually got a chance to talk to Ed McCaffrey, Luke's father, during Super Bowl week, and I was talking to him about, you know, his son's development and all those things, and he kind of agreed. It's just getting the basic nuances of what it takes to be a receiver in general, but then also how to be a receiver in the NFL. And I think the great thing for players entering their second season, and one of the reasons I think we tend to see that big step in year two, is from, you know, from the end of the college season to entering their rookie year, there's no time. There's really no growth moment. There's really no opportunity to just kind of sit back, digest, you know, process what you've been able to do. It's basically just drinking from a fire hose. Then you get to the end of your rookie year, and then you get some time. Then you actually have a moment to kind of look back at your process of getting drafted, your workouts, your season experience, your practices, your notes from your coaches, your experiences themselves, talking to guys like Terry McLaurin, you know, things like that. And during that process, you learn a lot about yourself and where you want to take your game, because you finally have a moment to really take a step back and look at it from a bird's eye view. So I think that's going to help Luke tremendously. And you come in OTAs, come into mini camp, and put some of those things that you've learned into practice, and then you continue that development into training camp. So, you know, I don't want to put a prediction on how much Luke will grow, but I know that, like, that's kind of got to be the main focus for a guy like him, is just continue to get the finer points of being a receiver down before you worry about trying to go out there and be, you know, can I be this box out specialist in the short area, or can I, you know, use some deceptive speed to get an angle on guys. You know, you'd love to see that in year two if it comes, fantastic, but I think really just becoming that more technically sound receiver in his fourth year playing the position is the key.
Great stuff, David. Really appreciate you taking the time. That is David Harrison. Follow him on Twitter at dharrison82. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. When we return, we're talking about greatness, a record-breaking opportunity here in Richmond, Virginia. That story next on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. we host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open throughout the show, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910, broadcasting live from River City Roll here in Scott's Addition. Don't call River City Roll just a bowling alley, live music and entertainment. I like to say the pizza's banging, the wings are good, and they have great beer selections as well. And joining me right now from River City Roll is Ken Dish. And Ken, you are attempting to be the best bowler in Richmond, Virginia. Going for greatness here.
I hope so.
So explain this to the audience here. Explain the record. You brought the book here in front of you, the record book for bowling in the city of Richmond.
Back in 1994, a gentleman named Paul Zivgolas set the highest average in the city at 244.4.
And that is 244.4. That's, you know, one game, and 300 is the high, obviously, there. And that is how many games over a season? That's probably like three games a day over a course of a season?
Correct. 32 weeks or 36 weeks. Depends on the league.
Okay, so 32 weeks, and he's averaging 244.4. I mean, that's close to 300. I mean, that's literally probably, what, seven or eight strikes you got to get that?
Man, that's a lot of striking and man, a lot of confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is the record here in Richmond. Where are you currently at right now?
I am at 244.2.
244.2. So, Stubb, let me try to explain it to you here. So, the record in Richmond is 244.4 over the course of a season. That is the average bowler's mark. Ken is at 244.1, and you have a chance to break that record with one game left, three games, right?
Correct.
So, you need to get what number total to break that record?
I need about a 760.
760?
Tonight.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot of pins. So basically you could get 900 would be perfect over three games. 760 gives you room for a couple of splits, a couple of spares, right?
That's basically about 240 ish a game.
Yeah
So 250 would be nice a game.
Yeah. And that would break the record. So how did you become the bowler that you are? I mean, you've taught me. I've talked about it on the show here. You've been my bowling instructor. My game has gotten a lot better. How did you become the bowler that you are?
Man, it takes a lot of dedication. You have your support team, basically your bowling family.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, some great helps. Like I have Or drillers, James Jones drills all my bowling equipment, makes my hand feel very comfortable, and that's very important in a bowling ball. If you're not comfortable in your bowling ball, you're not going to throw it correctly. So this guy, especially this year, let me tell you, man, I shot more honor scores this year than I have in the past 7 years. 2 weeks ago, I went 300s at three different centers. And then you have, you know, your people cheering you on and talking to you, and then you always ask for advice, And there's a couple bowlers like Brandon Johnson, Sabrina, Dan. We all bowl together on Saturday night. And, of course, with James Jones, we communicate. What do we see? What's the ball doing? Do I need to change equipment or do I need to stand somewhere else? So that helps out a ton. You know, most bowlers, they don't talk to each other what they see. But when you have a good team that can communicate together, they usually click together, and, man, they can win so much.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 1FM, broadcasting live from River City Roll. And you can kind of hear it in my voice. I get excited for any time there's a chance for greatness, to break a record. You guys know here on 910 The Fan, I'm the biggest sports fan in town. It doesn't matter the sport, I'll get competitive for anything. And we're talking bowling right now with Ken Dish from River City Roll. And I was wondering, when you see bowling on TV and we see like clips of Pete Weber screaming, "Who do you think you are? I am." And Bill Monte, you were mentioning him to me. Do you pick up tricks or anything when you're watching bowling on TV?
I think at that point, you know these guys are great, and you just watch and watch and watch. It's called just routine. They're doing the same thing over and over and over, and that's what you try to do. Every night, you just try to do the same thing over and over and over. Of course, it's easier said than done. But practice.
So you are currently the champion, the high for the city this year.
Correct.
And that is with the average of 244.1. And so you've been playing these tournaments all season long from September here to May. And so when will you go for the record?
Tonight.
Tonight is the night. I'm so fired up for this. Ken Dish is hanging out with us here. About to turn 54 years old, but you're still hanging with the young guys. How young are they in the tournaments that you play?
They could be anywhere from 18 out of youth group to, 60, 70. I mean, every tournament's different, and, we all give it the best and see what happens.
Now, you just became a pro bowler a few months ago.
Correct.
And you have not done a pro bowling tournament, but you're going to, and you're going to be in the senior division.
Correct. And I'm so excited. I just can't wait just to get on the road a little bit and see what I have to offer and what I need to learn. Each tournament is always a learning curve. So when you go out, okay, I need to do this, and work on this and work on that. But the people around you help a lot.
Yeah. And you've helped me. I mean, first off, I was chicken winging. Then I was spinning it too much. My footwork was all off. And so you've kind of been my bowling instructor here. And I'm looking forward to seeing you hopefully have the record here in Richmond, Virginia. So why don't you remind everyone once again, so who is the record holder? What is it? And then what's it going to take for you to break it?
The gentleman's name is Paul Zavgolis, set in 1994. He's currently living in Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
And he still bowls. He's still throwing the ball. I saw him 3 weeks ago, and he's still throwing the ball good.
Oh, man. So this is a record that's been in Richmond for 30 years, and you are attempting to break it tonight.
Correct.
Wow. Good luck, man. And so it's going to take above 250, right? So your average is 244.1 right now. So you're close to beating it right now. Just got to get above that 250. So, get us excited. What's it going to take for you to get above 250 tonight, man?
Just have another comfortable night. Just let the ball roll. Let the ball do its thing.
Yeah. But a few weeks ago, you bowled a legit 900.
Well, in a week span.
Correct. Okay.
At three different bowling centers, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
it's crazy. My mind is blown right now. Stubber, is your mind blown in the studio? I'm sitting next to greatness right now, the Michael Jordan of bowling, Ken Dish.
Oh, my goodness. No, I'm not.
Basically, yeah.
Right?
How much that would be awesome,
He's the Ben Wallace of bowling here in Richmond, Virginia. It's unbelievable. So you just bowled a 900, which is a 300 three different times. You got to get – so how many rounds will you bowl tonight?
Just three games.
Just three games.
Three games.
So you've got to get 750.
Correct.
I don't think I would get over 350 in three games.
Yeah, there's no hot sauce involved.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. All right, man. So explain to me the different balls that you bring, because you bring different sizes, right? You bring different styles, right?
Yeah, just different brands of bowling balls. They do. Each one does a different thing.
Yeah.
And Rick James, James Jones at the Oil Drillers, he drills them up for me. They hook different ways. Some of them go long. Some of them hook very early. Some hook very hard.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to read the lanes and the atmosphere and everything that's in the bowling center. So, and you just got to, that, got to throw the ball good and have a little luck on your side.
Absolutely. The bowling season comes to a close tonight, and hopefully Ken Dish will be the new record holder here in Richmond, Virginia. People can see you here at River City Roll. Do people ask you for advice when they see you here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's how I learned, by asking advice, coming up to the ranks. And I still ask for advice because there's always something you need to learn.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for stopping by. I love that you could be my instructor here at River City Roll.
Appreciate it very much.
Yep, that is Ken Dish going for the record tonight, the bowling record here in Richmond, Virginia. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. You're on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. The 2025 NBA postseason has delivered. Not the play-in tournament, but the playoffs have had excitement almost every single night. Two more exciting contests tonight. Indiana stunned the Cleveland Cavaliers, the one seed in the Eastern Conference, in Game 1. Game 2 tonight, 7 p.m. And then Game 1 between Steph Curry and Anthony Edwards as the Warriors travel to face off against the Minnesota Timberwolves. 9:30 tonight on TNT as we head out on the Fast Break with AWOD, talking all things NBA.
Let's go. Let's play some basketball here.
We're going on a Fast Break with AWOD. From buzzer-beating shots to the best highlight plays from around the league, every clutch moment.
Stroking it from three.
The all-stars of the league. We're out in transition. It's a breakaway.
It's good at the buzzer.
It's the Fast Break and AWOD talking all things NBA.
Aaron Gordon said, "I knew it wasn't a miss," when asked about his clutch game-winning shot for the Denver Nuggets last night. Jokic scores 42, but it's Aaron Gordon who hits the game winner to upset the Thunder in Game 1. This was a back-and-forth battle here in which Oklahoma City, Chet Holmgren, goes to the free throw line with his team up by two. He makes one, they're safe, and play for overtime with a three. He makes both, it's game over. Holmgren actually misses both free throws. The rebound comes to Oklahoma City. Russell Westbrook pushes the pace and finds Aaron Gordon for the game-winning shot. Let's take a listen once again. Game 1, Western Conference semifinal series between the Thunder and the Nuggets.
It rims out. Brown grabs it. 7 seconds left. Westbrook, 5 seconds. They're down by one. Gordon got it! Aaron Gordon with a deep shot. Williams, three-quarter court, no good. The Nuggets steal game one. That's a winner for Aaron Gordon. 121.
When we talked about the Denver Nuggets in this year's postseason, we said, you know, Nikola Jokic is still the best player in the NBA. It's not even close. He's a walking, breathing triple-double. But they would need others to step up. It's been Russell Westbrook at times as a defensive piece and hitting open shots. Jamal Murray has answered the questions in terms of leading them and scoring several games. And Aaron Gordon, you know, just a week ago, he dunked in the game winner at the buzzer after Nikola Jokic airballs the shot. He dunks in the airball to defeat the LA Clippers in a big game that kind of flipped the series there. And now in game one, he hits the outside shot to get the win. So Aaron Gordon has been the one to step up and to bring his game to the next level. Certainly hasn't been Christian Brown or Michael Porter Jr. Those two have struggled. But the big four in Denver this postseason has been Westbrook, Gordon, Murray, and Nikola Jokic. And they now have stolen home court from the one seed Oklahoma City Thunder. And you kind of saw the Thunder crumble in that game there. Outside of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they couldn't get much of any kind of production on the offensive end. And you just wonder if, you know, they're still too young, that they are still a year or two away from actually breaking through the Western Conference. Shai can do his thing, and he's been spectacular. He's at an MVP level, and in the first half, he was leading the Thunder to an 8-point or a 10-point lead at the break. Like, they were pretty much dominating. Then the third quarter changed. In the fourth quarter, Denver stole all of the momentum here. But, you know, this is a Thunder team that was one of the best defensive teams, and they give up 121 at home to lose round one. But Shai goes off for 33, and then that was it. Nobody else could really do much. They had a good performance off the bench from Alex Caruso, but they need more from Chet. They need more from Jalen Williams. They need more from Kayson Wallace. They need more from Jalen Williams. They need more from Lu Dort. They need more from Hartenstein as well. I mean, this is a Nuggets team that we've talked about here. They know they're going to get a triple-double from Jokic. They know Murray's going to give them 20 to 28 points. They now feel pretty confident that Aaron Gordon will go off for 15-plus, And Michael Porter is their X factor that should improve throughout the rest of this series here. But Aaron Gordon got traded to Denver and became the star at the dunker position, which is basically the low block on either side of the rim. And when Jokic gets doubled, he dumps it off to Gordon or throws the alley-oop to Gordon. And a lot of his buckets throughout the last three seasons have been dunks. But he is more than that. This is a guy that was a star for the Orlando Magic before traded to Denver. He can hit the outside shot. He can take the guy off this dribble. But he affected the game with 22 points and maybe more importantly, 14 rebounds. A lot of those in the second half, 7 offensive to set the Nuggets up with another possession. And then last night we also saw the Boston Celtics blow a 20-point lead in the second half to the New York Knicks, who were led by Jalen Brunson and OG Anunoby. And I am here to admit that I was wrong. I thought the best case scenario for the Knicks was to let OG Anunoby walk and to not overpay him. They chose to overpay him, knowing how integral of a part of this team he is defensively. And he was fantastic again defensively, but I didn't see the offensive explosiveness ever coming from OG Anunoby, and he exploded. 6 made three-pointers, 29 points, tied with Jalen Brunson. He was their second leading scorer last night as the Knicks score 30 in the third, 25 in the fourth, limit Boston to just 16. The Celtics, and look, as great as the Knicks were in this game, I think you learned more about the Boston Celtics. We found their weakness. We've talked all season long how they shoot 50-plus threes every game. But when they're missing them at that level, and this is a team here that certainly falls in love with the three-point shot. You know, Jason Tatum can bang with the best of them at the basket, and same can Jaylen Brown, but they combine to shoot 5 of 25 from 3. That's them deciding, hey, we're going to settle for the outside shot rather than go attack Mitchell Robinson and Karl Anthony Towns down low for the New York Knicks. And the Celtics, they settled for too many threes. And when you shoot 25%, 15 of 60 from the three-point land, you're going to leave the door open for any team. And the New York Knicks have the closer. Jaden Daniels was the closer in the National Football League. Jalen Brunson has been the closer in the National Basketball Association. In the NBA, it's Brunson over everybody. Clutch performance, and he hit clutch shot after clutch shot in the fourth quarter, and then his teammates lifted him to victory in overtime. 108-105, Knicks steal game one. So as we look at tonight's matchups, a couple of really good games, both one in the East, one in the West. We'll start in the East, and I do believe that Cleveland will bounce back at home here, and even this series against the Pacers. You know, Haliburton and the Pacers were spectacular to steal game one. In the second half, they really showed up, and I think Cavs maybe got nervous being the one seed, being at home for an Eastern Conference semifinals. I expect them to rebound and get the win tonight. And then game one, Warriors-Timberwolves. I really don't know what to expect. You know, my gut tells me pick the T-Wolves, that this Warriors team is not good enough. The T-Wolves are up and coming. The T-Wolves have more younger stars. But how am I going to bet against Steph Curry? You know, how am I going to bet against the greatest three-point shooter in the history of the game? And that is the great equalizer. You know, T-Wolves could have a 15-point lead, then Curry all of a sudden hits 4 or 5 straight threes, and we're even once again. So my gut tells me, game one, go to Minnesota. The T-Wolves, like I'm talking about here, they're the younger roster. It's not just Anthony Edwards, Julius Randle, Jaden McDaniels, Naz Reid, Dante DiVincenzo. Rudy Gobert has been really good this postseason. And also, as I just said, Rudy Gobert and Naz Reid is better than anybody the Warriors have down low. My gut's telling me T-Wolves. I'm talking myself into T-Wolves. I will take the Timberwolves to win game one tonight from the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to A-Wide Radio here on the new sports radio, 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. Who you got? 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, phone lines are open 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. This just in, the Thunder's Sam Presti was named National Basketball Association Basketball Executive of the Year. The Oklahoma City Thunder's 68 wins had their general manager named Executive of the Year. This is a juggernaut team that won a league-best 68 games. It's kind of funny that he gets announced as GM, you know, of the year, Executive of the Year, the day after they lose a first-round, a second-round game one to the Denver Nuggets, and the NBA has got to announce the MVP in this series because you got one of the front runners, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, against one of the front runners, Nikola Jokic, facing off against each other. It's actually Sam Presti's first time winning the award and the first time that the Thunder won the award since 1994, back when they were called the Seattle Supersonics, and it was Bob Whitsmith that won it that season, putting together a fantastic Supersonics team. But what the Thunder have done in the last few years is fantastic. He's certainly deserving of Executive of the Year. The reason I bring it up is because it mirrors what Washington is attempting to do with the Wizards. And if you are a Wizards fan, you look at the Thunder's roster, you look at the Rockets roster, and I feel like you can't help but smile and get excited and get those butterflies in your stomach for what the Wizards roster could look like next season or maybe even by the end of that season. Because what they've done so far to bring in Bilal Coulibaly, Alex Sarr, Bub Carrington, Keyshawn George, and A.J. Johnson are five impactful players of the future. Then there's, you know, other pieces like Corey Kispert and Tristan Vucevic that could be pieces of the future as well. And then maybe the number one or the number two pick in the upcoming NBA draft. 6 days from today, next Monday, we will have the NBA draft lottery. The Wizards have a 14% chance of getting the first pick. They also have a chance to get the second pick, the third pick, fourth pick, or the fifth pick. They have a protected top five pick. Three teams all have 14% to get number one, so I think it's just as likely they get the second or the third pick. It feels like Cooper Flagg will go one. If it's number two, it will be Derek Harper from Rutgers. If it's three, it could be Ace Bailey. I do think all three of them are franchise-changing pieces. And so you look at what Oklahoma City has done, and they just get the award of Executive of the Year, and you look at the depth chart on this roster, all right? Lou Dort is a young piece there for this team that's 26 years old. Chet Holmgren was just drafted, I believe, 2 years ago. He's 23 years old. First round, pick number two in 2022. All right. Jalen Williams, a young piece for this team as well. He's 24 years old. So you look at what they've done. They've drafted and developed. Cason Wallace, who played a lot for them last night, 21 out of Kentucky, was the first round pick in 2023. So it's a mix of first round picks from 2022, 2023, 2024 that have all come together with the leader, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who was also a first-round pick, but of the Clippers, was actually traded in the Paul George trade to Oklahoma City and has taken off. He's only 26 years old. So you see how young this Thunder roster is. It's incredible. They won 68 regular season games. I never thought they were ready to make a deep postseason run this year. I think they need to get heartbroken to then battle through it the next year. But what they've done in the regular season is awesome, and it should give Wizards fans excitement for the future because they've got five young pieces, right? We've got four young pieces right now, and we'll get a fifth in the upcoming NBA draft. So I think that's big news for Wizards fans. It is something to be excited about. We went on the fast break with AWOD already, but I do want to talk about the big NBA story, which was Greg Popovich retiring, and then at his press conference it was announced that he is no longer the coach. He will be known as El Jefe, the president of basketball operations for the San Antonio Spurs. And it's tough because I did fall in love with Pop. I never liked him at first. I thought they were boring, you know, Mr. Fundamental with Tim Duncan, but you appreciate the success and the greatness. And we would have never gotten to fall in love with Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. It wasn't for the head man in charge of the Spurs, Greg Popovich. So as he transitions to this new era here, I'm interested. We had their new coach, the interim coach Mitch Johnson, have his press conference yesterday. And there is a lot to be excited about the future for the San Antonio Spurs. And it starts with Victor Wembanyama and his return from the deep vein thrombosis that knocked him out of the end of last season. But in case you missed it last night, Aaron Gordon stuns the Oklahoma City Thunder with a round two, game one winning shot. He pulls up from three. You know, first off, in transition there, down by two, down by one, I'm thinking, well, they should obviously go to the basket here, right? They had a kind of a two-on-two fast break with Russell Wilson, but Gordon says he thought that was the best shot they were going to get. I knew it wasn't a miss when it left my hands, and that it wasn't. It was pretty much nothing but net. Bounced around the rim a little bit, but fell square through the rim, and just like that, Thunder take a 1-0 series lead, or excuse me, the Nuggets take a 1-0 series lead on the Thunder. You know, this year's NBA playoffs have delivered game winners. They've delivered massive games from superstars. I mean, just last night, you had the Knicks rally from down 20 and the Thunder lose on their home court to the Nuggets with a game-winning shot. So I thought the NBA playoffs have really delivered two good games tonight. I'm wondering if we are watching, like, the last dance here for Steph Curry. Not that he's going to retire at the end of the season, but I just wonder, you know, could this be the last playoff series that the Golden State Warriors win with Steph Curry at the helm? I mean, they are getting older. Steph Curry is older. You know, Jimmy Butler is older. Draymond Green is older. And the young guys aren't like faces of the league. Nobody's excited for Moses Moody or Brandon Podziemski. I mean, they've had to trade the up-and-coming pieces like the Andrew Wiggins to go all in this season. And so I do think we are watching the last dance, the last ride with Steph Curry here. I mean, you look at the last few years, you know, that's why I make the joke the NBA should call it the Stephen Curry play-in tournament, because that's where the Warriors have lived. They've been, you know, a 7, 8, 9, 10 seed the last few years in the regular season, and we're so used to being a 70-win regular season team or a 65-win regular season team that's the one or the two seed. That's not happening anytime soon. I wonder if this is the end of that Warriors dynasty. They already moved on from Klay Thompson. Thought that Splash Bro would probably play for the Warriors for the rest of his career. No, they deal him to Dallas to maneuver back to get some young pieces. He just decided he was done there in Golden State. He had finished the best parts of his career, and so I'll be rooting for Steph Curry, but as I told you, I do think that this is a T-Wolves team that got so close last year. They almost busted all the way through. This could be the year that Anthony Edwards represents the Western Conference. He is the up-and-coming star on the rise of the West. If you're not talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you're talking about Anthony Edwards leading the T-Wolves. It's no longer the Ja Morant show. It's no longer Luka Doncic show. He's eliminated. They're out. It's all about Anthony Edwards, Shai, that young Houston Rockets team, the Denver Nuggets, and the Golden State Warriors are still in it. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. It is a Washington Capitals game day, a playoff game day in the nation's capital as Washington hosts the Carolina Hurricanes for a Metropolitan Divisional matchup in the second round of the Stanley Cup postseason. Caps at home, 7 p.m. will be your puck drop. We preview the game coming up next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.